This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, that means it's Medal of Honor Monday, which I will get to here in just a moment. We'll continue along the lines of what we've just been talking about this hour as it pertains, or last hour, as it pertains to Haiti, handing our money out to the Taliban. Lindsey Graham is back in the news. We'll talk about some congressional things. Before I do any of that, including Medal of Honor Monday, need to give a gigantic shout out. Welcome. I don't know which way to do this. WHAS out of Louisville, 840 out of Louisville, Kentucky. We are now live in old Kentucky, and I love Louisville, mainly because of the food I've eaten in that wonderful city. I was just telling Jewish producer Chris before the show, he has got to come there with me next time I go, where we are going to eat through every single place in the town. We are following the legend Terry Miners, who's been on there for like 40 years. And so Louisville, 840, love you back. Thank you for having me. Now, without further ado, for those maybe who are unfamiliar with the show, every single Monday at this hour, at this exact moment, we do the exact same thing. We do Medal of Honor Monday, where we read a Medal of Honor citation. Sometimes we'll talk about some background on it, things like that, but we've had a request recently to start talking about the, at least acknowledging the city and state these people come from. And remember, we take suggestions. You're allowed to email whatever you want to us. We don't really do phone calls much here on the show, but love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, and Medal of Honor citation requests all could be sent to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Now, this is one for a Macario Garcia from the wonderful Sugarland, Texas. He fought in WW2, and here's what he did.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
While an acting squad leader of Company B, 22nd Infantry, on the 27th of November, 1944, near Grosshau, Germany, he single-handedly assaulted two enemy machine gun emplacements, attacking prepared positions on a wooded hill which could be approached only through meager cover. His company was pinned down by intense machine gun fire and subjected to a concentrated artillery and mortar barrage. Although painfully wounded, he refused to be evacuated and, on his own initiative, crawled forward alone until he reached a position near an enemy emplacement. Hurling grenades, he boldly assaulted the position, destroyed the gun, and with his rifle killed three of the enemy who attempted to escape. This guy. When he rejoined his company, a second machine gun opened fire, and again the intrepid soldier went forward, utterly disregarding his own safety. He stormed the position and destroyed the gun, killing three more Germans and capturing four prisoners. He fought on with his unit until the objective was taken, and only then did he permit himself to be removed for medical care. Staff Sergeant, then Private, Garcia's conspicuous heroism, his inspiring, courageous conduct, and his complete disregard for his personal safety wiped out two enemy emplacements and enabled his company to advance and secure its objective. Now, I only wanted to bring up a couple things here when it comes to machine gun emplacements. But first, I want to focus on the worst and best places to attack or be attacked. Attack or on the defense. Okay. Mountains and valleys. Why is Italy? Italy is actually infamously, historically, very difficult to attack and conquer and easy to defend. Why? It's all mountains and valleys. If you're going to defend a place, there's nothing better than mountains and valleys. You know, as many wonderful new technologies as man has come up with, there's still no defeating God in the whole natural defense department. If you have mountains to use as defense, not only can you dig into them, you can fire down from them. It's where you want to be in the defense. And now, if you talk about assaulting up a hill into a machine gun emplacement, that's about as brutal as it gets. You know, I was talking about my stress test today, my physical. I had to do a stress test, and I was joking, obviously, about the treadmill and how they raise it. But seriously, think about this for a moment. We don't ever consider, as we read these things, the physical exhaustion. When's the last time you walked up a really steep hill? When's the last time you walked up one with a bunch of really heavy gear on you? When's the last time you walked up a really steep hill with really heavy gear on you when people are trying to murder you on the way up? It's physically exhausting beyond belief. Your hands, your legs, your entire body's wiped out. And you know, since you're assaulting a machine gun emplacement, they make the emplacements, you know, they don't just throw those things in the ground willy-nilly. We look at the movies and we see, oh, there's a machine gun nest, there's a bunker. But that's not how it works. When you're a commander, you will figure out what are the most likely lanes of approach. How are they going to get up this hill? And then you will design your emplacement, your bunker, whatever it is, so it faces those things. And so you can mow down those lanes, whoever gets into those lanes, before they can get to you. What I'm trying to tell you is to approach an emplacement, one that has been dug in, and those freaking Germans were dang good at digging in and defense and things like that. If you're going to approach one of those up a hill, you have to assume you're going to die. And I brought that up because ones like this, they tend to be short, but that's just oftentimes whoever wrote the citation. Do you have any idea how many people, not just in World War II, otherwise, have approached an emplacement and didn't make it? It's most of them. I'll put it that way. You know, going after that emplacement is probably going to kill you. But these guys who have something in them, right? Something we all want inside of us. We want inside of our sons. They have something in them. Guys like this, he's not seeing his own personal danger, his own personal risk. He's looking around and he's seeing his buddies get cut down, pinned down in a dark forest. And he knows either I take that bunker or my friends are going to die. So screw it. Give me some grenades. I'm going. And guys like that are in the Medal of Honor. Sometimes. Most of the time, they die. Most of the time, you start crawling, you get blown up. You wonder why he's wounded. Here's another thing to think about whenever you're thinking about it, especially this will apply to some to the Civil War and wars where there are cannons. But really, if you advance past that, and get into World War I, World War II, all the way up to modern day, going through this Russia, Ukraine. Think about artillery inside a thickly wooded area. What is that going to create? Use your imagination. What's it going to create? Artillery shell lands, it explodes in a wooden area. What's the real danger with things that are exploding? Yes, the concussion can kill you, but it's the shrapnel that comes with it. All the little pieces of metal or whatever happens to be in or wrapped around that explosive device. Think about the shrapnel when artillery's landing on you inside of a forest We're talking splinters, and not like the kind mommy dug out from under your fingernail. We're talking splinters the size of your forearm moving at the speed of sound all around you. If you've ever read Chris, look up. I don't want to screw up his name. I believe it's Ernst, and for some reason I'm misplacing his name. He wrote Storm of Steel in World War I, an amazing book. Gosh, I don't think I've read that book in 10 years. But in World War I, Chris will come up with his name. What's his name, Chris? Ernst Jünger. That's right. I knew it was Ernst something. Dang it. I was going to say Jünger, too. Before Chris said that, right before he said that, I was about to say Jünger, so Chris didn't actually help. Anyway, Ernst Jünger wrote this book, Storm of Steel. It's heavy. It's from a guy on the ground's perspective in World War I. But if you want some idea of what it's like to be bombed by artillery, to be shelled, more specifically, by artillery, that's one to pick up. All right, enough. Let's go back to the world trying to treat us like an open sewer and how shocked they all are that those days are done. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'll get back to some emails in a few, but first we have to talk about some hysterical women. We'll start with Selena Gomez. Selena Gomez, I don't know if you know who she is. She's some celebrity, singer, whatever. But something great has happened in our country, in our culture. It's something we touched on last week where, remember when I was talking about the conversation I had with a friend and he was asking, why does it feel like the cultural Marxists are so afraid right now? They're in such retreat right now. And there are a lot of aspects to this, right? The election is part of it and things like that. But the main reason the cultural Marxists are in retreat is the right, normal people, you, me, the right developed teeth. The right finally put aside these childish, ridiculous notions about live and let live. And, well, we can't become like them. We set that stuff aside and we started treating evil communists like the animals they are. Started calling demons demons. Started telling liberal Aunt Peggy to shut her freaking mouth or she can leave Thanksgiving. No, we don't celebrate communism here. We stopped rolling our eyes. We stopped being the silent majority and we started bullying communists. Selena Gomez, some celebrity who doesn't know anything about anything, put up some video online of her whining about all the illegals who are being deported.
I say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked. The children. They don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything, I promise.
The point there is not to make fun of that hysterical woman. The point there is she deleted that video. Now, I want you to rewind. You don't have to rewind far. 5, 6 years ago, even. When every single hysterical celebrity or media person would put up something online. Oh my gosh, Trump is Hitler. Everyone's gonna die. Oh, somebody love me. When's the last time you remember any of them getting deleted? It just doesn't happen. Everybody would join in. Oh my gosh, you're right. He is Hitler. I'm so sad. That's how it has been. Now, this filthy communist felt so much heat and hatred for her ridiculousness, she deleted it and just disappeared. That's how you treat communists. And one other word on this before we get to the second hysterical woman. Notice what she calls all the illegals in the country.
I just say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked. The children.
Oh, what people? Chris? Chris, what? Let's listen to that again, because it's hard to tell through all the anti-anxiety medication. What people?
I just say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked.
All my people? What people are those, Selena? We're deporting illegals. What people do you consider to be your people? And I guess it begs the question as well, what people do you not consider to be your people? Where, oh communist, where do your loyalties lie? If I was getting deported, I don't know where they'd deport me to, Ireland or something, that would make the most sense. If I was getting deported back to Ireland, would Selena Gomez consider me her people? Who are your people? Huh. Remember that, I believe it was Plato, that quote we read some time ago about how tyrants, evil people, they prefer the company of foreigners because the foreigner doesn't care if you're pillaging your country. Doesn't care at all. The foreigner's just happy to be here and loot the treasury with you. That's why he feels, that's why the tyrant here in America and elsewhere, that's why he feels a special affinity for the foreigner. The foreigner will happily stand back, stand by, watch the tyrant do what he wants. And the tyrant loves him for that. My people are being attacked. Huh. Trump administration has been rounding up rapists, thieves, gangbangers, and murderers for a week now. Selena Gomez says they're her people. That's an interesting way to look at that. Now, on to hysterical woman number two. Let's talk about Lindsey Graham, shall we?
Do you believe that President Trump was wrong to issue these blanket pardons to the January 6th defendants?
Number one, he had the legal authority to do it, but I fear that you will get more violence. Pardoning the people who went into the Capitol and beat up a police officer violently, I think was a mistake because it seems to suggest that's an okay thing to do. Kamala Harris wanted to raise bail money for people burning down Minneapolis. You know, Biden pardoned half his family going out the door. I think most Americans, if this continues to see this as an abuse of the pardon power, that we'll revisit the pardon power of the president if this continues. But as to pardoning violent people who beat up cops, I think that's a mistake.
Let me ask you something. Really asking, because I've never come up with an answer for it. What does Trump get out of covering for Lindsey Graham? Covers for him all the time. Has him up at his rallies all the time. Always backing Lindsey Graham. Why won't Lindsey Graham shut his freaking mouth right now? I think it's time for the old Donald to make a phone call and say, that needs to be the last time I hear that out of your stupid fat face on TV on Saturday. That's just all I'm saying. It's time for that phone call. It's time for you to make a phone call. 1-800-4-RELIEF is what you're going to call. Now, that can't take Lindsey Graham out of your life. I'm sure Relief Factor wishes they could. But it can take the pain out of your life, you see. Pain, physical pain. It comes for all of us at some point in time because these bodies, these joints, these muscles, they're not made to last forever. They come and they go. But you don't have to sit and ignore that pain that drags you down in your life. You don't have to just hope it gets better, and you don't have to take something to mask it. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement. Works better the longer you take it. They're so confident it'll get that pain out of your life. 3 weeks is $19.95. It's a quick start. Just try it for 3 weeks. If it works, order more. Almost everyone does. If it doesn't, don't. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. Some emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
Hey, Jesse, I was just calling about your comment you were saying earlier about how hard it is to house people, and I agree. However, I live in El Paso, Texas, and there is a huge processing center that's already been built. that Biden was using to process these people into our country, let's just reverse it. Let's process them into those tents and into these tent cities, process them, and get them the hell out of here. What do you think?
One, that sounds good. Two, that actually reminds me. Just, we always have to keep this on top of mind because things are going well right now. Remember how evil Democrats are, and remember how evil the Biden administration was specifically. It wasn't just that they didn't try to stop people from coming in. For 4 years, the United States government actually spent a fortune to facilitate people coming in. Either they used some refugee program, they flew people into this country from other countries, bused them into this country from other countries. They built entire processing centers to get people into the country as fast as humanly possible. Democrats, all you communists who hate, listen out there, you want to know why a lot of people in your party have woken up and decided they're done with that? You want to know? This is from Chicago. Want to know why these people exist?
Final thoughts are, you know, Tom Homan, you are welcome. I voted for President Trump. And let me tell you something. I was one of those lifelong Democrats. I started voting at 18, voted in every election, voted Democrat in every election, except this last one, because I'm just tired. I'm tired of the same old thing happening from the Democratic Party. I'm so glad that President Trump is now delivering on some of his promises.
You can get mad all you want about people crossing over to vote for Trump, which they obviously did given the popular vote. You have nobody but yourself to blame. Please understand this. If you're one of the dirty communists hate listening, every single thing that's happening right now is your fault. I know self-reflection is not really big. You want to know why Trump 2.0 is about 10 million times better, harder, stronger, nastier than Trump 1.0? Because you tried to blow his freaking head off. And then you sent the Cheka to rifle through his wife's underwear drawer. Every single thing you did to try to stop Trump, every single thing you did created it. You are Dr. Frankenstein, and what you see now is the monster you created. How in the world could people inside of Chicago, how in the world could they vote for Donald Trump? Because you savages decided to import as many rapists into the country as humanly possible. I'll never, ever forget. Remember that morning? There were so many scandals over the last 4 years that they all kind of come in and go. I'm sure I've forgotten most of them. Remember the day we woke up and we found 14,000 Haitians on the border? 14,000, not 14 Haitians, 14,000, a freaking army of them. And the Biden administration started trying to figure out what to do with them. They started blocking television reporters from reporting them, from getting footage of them. So they didn't want you to know they were there. And then they tried to create a controversy out of it. Remember one of our wonderful Border Patrol guys on the horseback patrol? One of those guys was trying to take off from him. And so he reached down and he grabbed him by the back of his neck, which, let's be honest, if you're part of Border Patrol, that should be the bare minimum you're allowed to do to somebody trying to invade the United States of America. Reaches down, grabs him by the back of his shirt. The American media and the communists and the Democrat Party ran the guy, tried to ruin the freaking guy's life, said that they were whipping him. Remember that whole controversy? And then, I think they were there 2 days, maybe 3 days. Two, 3 days they were there, right on the border. We woke up one morning and they were gone. Well, where did they go? Back to South America, which is actually where they came from. Did they decide to hop on a boat and go back to Haiti? No. The Biden administration waited until it was dark. They waited until the middle of the night, and they brought in 14,000 people from the biggest dump on planet Earth into your country on purpose. 14,000 of them. And you know what? They're all still here. And now we get headlines like this. Haitian leader says Trump administration's plans will be catastrophic for his country. And remember in the first hour, remember when I said that the whole world has gotten used to dumping the dregs onto our shore and they've gotten used to us paying them for dumping their dregs onto our shore? This is from the first paragraph on my life in the AP. The president of Haiti's transitional presidential council said the Trump administration's decisions to freeze aid programs, deport migrants, and block refugees will be catastrophic for Haiti. The entire world has just gotten used to that's how America does business, and that's how they get to do business. Hey, who are the worst people we got here in Haiti? Oh, good. Gather all them up. Send them to Ohio. Nice. And guess what? Good news, guys. You thought we weren't going to get that government jet? America's sending another 20 million this month. It's gravy train, baby. That's how the whole world has lived. And now at the very idea that they will have to stop sending us the bottom 5%ers, that they will have to take back the bottom 5%ers they've already sent us, and that we will stop paying them millions of dollars to take a steaming Haiti dump on our country. At the very idea of that, these people are mortified. What? This will be catastrophic. What are we supposed to do? Take care of our own citizens? Do you actually expect us to pay for something ourselves? We don't do that. That's always been America's job. We can take all the poop, just one big poop bucket in this country, and we can always just dump it in America. And before we leave, America, they'll pay us. They pay us for our poop bucket every single time. What do you mean we can't dump our poop there anymore? And you're not paying us? This is an outrage. Isn't it crazy that that's how the world has worked forever? 43 years on this earth, and that's how long it's worked that way. It's freaking nuts.
Yeah, Jesse, I just wanted to say I agree with everything you're saying about the mass deportation and the Democrats. In my opinion, the Democrats have really passed the point of no return, so they can't go back. And I don't see them having very much success in the future, but they passed that point of no return.
Now, that's a very sharp voicemail. In case you're kind of wondering what point of no return he's talking about, I believe it was on Friday I was discussing how in order long-term that we, to save the country long-term, we actually have to have a reformed Democrat Party, because long-term, you know, 100 years, we can't survive if they do what they just did to us every single time they take over. We can't make it. It doesn't work that way. You cannot make it if half the country is trying to destroy the country. We have to have a reformed Democrat Party. Now, to that guy's point, they've passed the point of no return. Maybe. Let's talk about that next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a wonderful Monday. Reminding you, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you missed Medal of Honor Monday or any of my extremely witty commentary from the first hour, what, Chris, it is, even though it was a heavy first hour, I'll tell you that much.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
If you missed any of that, go download the podcast now. There's a wonderful, wonderful line in that Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises, where the bad guy, he's a bad guy, but the bad guy, Bane, he grabs this doctor. The doctor's afraid, and he says, now is not the time for fear. That comes later. It's a great line, right? It's a great line. So we need to talk to all the communists inside of the government. Because I need to tell you, even though I know you hate me, that's fine. I don't ask you to like me. I don't like you either. I need to explain to you how things go from here and how we got here. Because this is going to apply to a Politico article and the soundbite I heard, but I need to explain how we got here. Donald Trump came along back in 2015, came down the escalator. Donald Trump launched into being number one in the GOP almost immediately, mainly because of how he talked about immigration. Republican losers have forever sounded just like Democrat losers. Built by immigrants. We need more. And finally, for the first time ever, someone said, those are a bunch of rapists and murderers and drug dealers, and we should probably stop that. And we were so starved for someone like that, that the GOP as a whole dove on it. I was more of a Ted Cruz guy in that primary, but I'm talking about the country as a whole. Dove all over it. Yes, more Trump. Yes, that's what I want to hear. Okay. But Trump was still a deal maker. And really, probably what you'd consider to be a middle-of-the-road New York Democrat type. He'd work with Democrats. He'd work with Republicans. He was still a hardcore right-winger. And even when he got elected, he was no hardcore right-winger, not traditionally the way you'd think of it. In fact, a lot of people will forget this. His enemies try to forget it. His friends try to forget it. He bent over backwards trying to work with Democrats when he first got into office. Remember all this? He tried to pass because he wanted the border secure. He tried to pass a huge border security bill that had amnesty in it. He would say, yeah, amnesty, it's fine, whatever, give us border security. But the communists were so dug into being the resistance, they just kept saying, no, 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 impeach him, no, Nazi Hitler. Ah! And then eventually, they lied and manipulated. And granted, he aided them by shutting down the country, and they destroyed the jobs market that was going to get him reelected. And then after they stole an election in 2020, this, again, lifelong Democrat, fairly middle of the road, they tried to blow his freaking head off. You communists tried to murder him. And then you sent the Cheka into his house, and they rifled through his wife's underwear drawer. And then you convicted him of multiple felonies, a multi-$100 million judgment in New York alone. You created Trump 2.0, communists. You understand that. I know you can't get your mind around it. You created Trump 2.0. And now that brings us to where we are now, the conversation I wanted to have with you now. You think now is the time to fear. But I'm here to explain to you, if you can't control yourself, fear will come later. Because I'm seeing a lot of comments like this.
I think on the ground in this last week, what it's done is it's just terrified people. Everyone is worried if they're going to be fired or moved. If the goal was to make the department more efficient, I think this had the contrary effect.
That's some communist inside the Department of Justice. Here's an article from the head of Politico. I am terrified. That's a quote. Workers describe the dark mood inside federal agencies. Quote, I would love to leave, but I don't know where to go. And then I heard a stat today that over 60% of Democrats who work in the government and voted for Kamala Harris, they answered a survey. Over 60% of them said they would not follow an order from President Trump if they disagreed with it. Communists, once again, this is nice, Jesse. I'm trying to be nice to you. Trump 1.0 was manipulated, kneecapped, played defense, and in many ways pushed around. But you couldn't stop your demonic impulses, and you tried to murder him, and you tried to ruin his wife, and tried to ruin his life, and tried to do this and that. And now you have this apparently brand new hardened man who is beating the living crap out of you. But he's doing it in the nicest possible way. Yeah, you might lose your job, but he's reassigning you to go work border security, or you're getting fired, or your scam is ending. And I realize all these things are painful. But communist, just a warning. We're going to move off this since I know you won't listen. If you can't control yourself with this one, this is Trump 2.0. This is his last 4 years. If you can't control your demonic impulses with this one, well, the time to fear is going to come later. This one's trying to fire you. If you can't control yourself with this one, well, the next one's not going to try to fire you, okay? And I know that sounds dark and ominous, but that's how the history of the world works. When system disruptors try to disrupt corrupt systems, corrupt systems react violently because the system only exists to protect itself, and they shoot them, and they stab them, and they beat them to death, and they imprison them, and they try to smash system disruptors, and every time they smash one, they sit back and they take a sigh of relief, and they convince themselves they've stopped it. But what they've done is guaranteed that another one will come harder and smarter and meaner than the last one. And essentially, if you are a member of the corrupt system doing the system's bidding, when you do that stuff, you ensure that the time to fear is coming for you. I would just do what you're told under Trump 2.0. Just a word of advice. Just do as you're told this time. Trust me on that. Also, everybody, get your T levels up for the times to come. For the times that are here, the times to come, get your energy level up. You know how great it felt to get that report from the doctor's office today? He looked at it and said, wow, dang, doing great. Thank you, Chalk. I've been taking, I told him, yes, what do you take? You have any pills? You have any? Nope, I don't take any medications. Every single day I wake up and I take a natural herbal supplements, a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. And some chocolate powder I drink in a smoothie every morning, every day, 3 years. 3 years of that at the age of 43, sparkling physical. I feel great. Energy levels through the roof. He said, wow, that's not common at your age. I said, I know. Thank you, Chalk. Want to feel like that all the time? Huge discounts on subscriptions. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Get some natural herbal supplements in your body. You feel great. We still have an hour. Let's talk about sending money to the Taliban and Fetterman next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.